Welcome to Book of Mormon with Ryan. Hello, everyone. We have a lovely guest today, and this is
Ty Davis.
So, Ty Davis. So we're going to be doing chapter 18 in First Nephi with Ty Davis. So we're going to do our traditional rundown of questions with Ty Davis. And first of all, where are you from?
I'm originally from Portland, Oregon, but I've lived in Provo, Utah for about 5 years.
Okay.
Feels more like home.
But. It's so lovely here in September.
True. Yeah. Good weather. The summer lasts long.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. So what is your stance at church right now? Are you active, inactive, semi-active, post-Mormon, active Mormon, post-Mormon, excommunicated Mormon, or have you left the church altogether?
I would consider myself inactive, but at my most recent job, I was presenting as, like, fully active, temple-worthy.
Okay. And then, where are you on the LGBTQAI scale, same-sex attraction, and mixed orientation marriage?
I'm gay.
Okay. And where are you on the relationship status?
I have a boyfriend.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And did you serve a mission?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Okay. And
I served in Durban, South Africa.
I was in Argentina.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to be doing First Nephi chapter 18. If you are already familiar with the chapter or you don't want to listen to us read along, it's 25 verses, so it'll probably take us about 12 to 13 minutes to read. So go ahead and skip about 12 to 13 minutes ahead, and we're going to start reading.
Okay.
How do you want to...
Let's trade off verses.
Every other?
Okay. Yeah. Does that work?
That works for me.
Okay, I'll start. Chapter 18. And it came to pass that they did worship the Lord and did go forth with me, and we did work timbers of curious workmanship, and the Lord did show me from time to time after what manner I should work the timbers of the ship.
Now I, Nephi, did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by men, neither did I build the ship after the manner of men, but I did build it after the manner which the Lord had shown unto me, wherefore it was not after the manner of men.
And I, Nephi, did go into the mount oft, and I did pray oft unto the Lord, wherefore the Lord showed unto me great things.
And it came to pass that after I had finished the ship, according to the word of the Lord, my brethren beheld that it was good, and that the workmanship there was exceedingly fine. Wherefore they did not humble themselves again before the Lord.
And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, that we should arise and go down into the ship.
And it came to pass that on the morrow, after we had prepared all the things, much fruit and meat, and from the wilderness, and honey in abundance, and provisions according to which the Lord had commanded us, we did go down into the ship with all our loading and our seeds, and whatsoever things we had brought with us, every one according to his age. Wherefore we did all go down in the ship with our wives and our children.
And now my father had begat two sons in the wilderness. The elder was called Jacob, and the younger Joseph.
And it came to pass that after we had all gone down into the ship, and had taken with us our provisions and the things which had been commanded us, we did put forth into the sea, and we were given forth we were driven forth before the wind towards the promised land.
And after we had been driven forth before the wind for the space of many days, behold, my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and also their wives began to make themselves merry, insomuch that they began to dance and to sing and to speak with much rudeness. yea, even that they did forget by what power they had been brought thither. Yea, they were lifted up unto exceeding rudeness.
And I, Nephi, began to fear exceedingly, lest the Lord should be angry with us and smite us because of our iniquities, that we should be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. Wherefore, I, Nephi, began to speak to them with much soberness, but beheld, they were angry with me, saying, we will not that your younger brother shall be a ruler over us.
And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel did take me and bind me with cords, and they did treat me with much harshness. Nevertheless, the Lord did suffer it, that he might show forth his power unto the fulfilling of his word, which he had spoken concerning the wicked.
And it came to pass that after they had brought me insomuch that, that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord did cease to work.
Wherefore they knew not whither they should steer the ship, insomuch that there arose a great storm, yea, a great and terrible tempest, and we were driven back upon the waters for the space of 3 days. And they began to be frightened exceedingly, lest they should be drowned in the sea. Nevertheless, they did not loose me.
Yeah. And on the fourth day, which we had been driven back, the tempest began to be exceedingly sore.
And it came to pass that we were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, and after we had been driven back upon the waters for the space of 4 days, my brethren began to see that the judgments of God were upon them, and that they must perish, save that they should repent of their iniquities. Wherefore they came unto me and loosed the bands which were upon my wrists, and behold, they had swollen exceedingly, and also mine ankles were much swollen, and great was the soreness thereof.
Nevertheless, I did look unto my God, and I did praise him all the day long, and I did not murmur against the Lord because of mine affliction.
Now my father Lehi had said many things unto them, and also unto the sons of Ishmael. But behold, they did breathe out much threatenings against anyone that should speak for me. And my parents, being stricken in years, and having suffered much grief because of their children, they were brought down, yea, even upon their sick beds.
Because of their grief and much sorrow of the iniquity of my brethren, they were brought near even to be carried out of the time to meet their God. Yea, their gray hairs were about to be brought down to lie low in the dust. Yea, even they were near the cast with sorrow into the watery grave.
And Jacob and Joseph also, being young, having need of much nourishment, were grieved because of their afflictions of their mother. And also my wife with her tears and prayers, and also my children, did not soften the hearts of my brethren that they would loose me.
And there was nothing save it were the power of God, which threatened them to with destruction, could soften their hearts. Wherefore, when they saw that they were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, they repented, and with which things they had done, insomuch that they loosed me.
And it came to pass that they had loosed me. After they had loosed me, behold, I took the compass, and it did work whither I desired it. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, and after I had prayed, the winds did cease, and the storm did cease, and there was great calm.
And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did guide the ship, that we sailed again towards the promised land. And it came to pass that after we had sailed for the space of many days, we did arrive at the promised land, and we went forth and landed and did pitch our tents, and we did call it the promised land.
And it came to pass that we did begin to till the earth, and we began to plant seeds. Yea, we did put all our seeds into the earth, which we had brought from the land of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that they did grow exceedingly, wherefore we were blessed in abundance.
And it came to pass that we did find upon the land of promise. We journeyed in the wilderness, and therefore were beasts in the forest, and of every kind, both of cow and of ox and of ass and of horse, and the goat and the wild goat, and all manner of wild animals which were for the use of men. And we did find all manner of ore, both gold and of silver and of copper. Okay, so that only took us 10 minutes to read that.
That was quick.
Yeah, I was expecting it to take longer. Hmm. All right, so what jumps out at you?
The first thing that jumps out at me, which this is kind of the first, this is the first time that this has been apparent to me in reading the Book of Mormon, and maybe it's because it's been a while, but it just feels so dramatic.
It does.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I feel like that could be a myriad of things.
Yeah.
Like, that could be, is it Joseph Smith trying to translate? It could be, you know, but I get the over-dramatization, yeah. Like, it's a melodrama.
It just feels like, yeah, but it feels, like, conflicted, because I feel like the way that the story is told, it's very much like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, and then we did this, and then they did this, and then this happened.
But that's
at the same time,
that's how, like, the Bible's written.
Right. No, yeah. But at the same time, it's, like, in such a dramatic way where it's, like, and then we had this affliction, and this was so bad, and my wrist was so sore, and nothing would console my brothers, but it doesn't, like, explain a lot of the emotion behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where I'm like, there must have been so much going on, and it doesn't, like, explain what you'd be feeling going through a situation like that. You, like, just built this ship, and you've never sailed before.
Well, the thing is, too, is it says the ship is, okay, okay, it's like, all right, Ty, I want you to build this thing.
Yeah.
And it's not made a traditional way.
Right.
One. Two. And then...
something you just, like, to your brothers, it's like, you're making this up.
This is nuts. This is...
you're
this is,
pulling this out of your brain.
This doesn't make sense, and...
right.
You're lying to everyone.
Right.
But then, all of a sudden, you have a boat, and it's of exceedingly fine workmanship.
And it, like, works?
And it's like, okay, either... what? Either you are inspired of the Lord...
yeah.
Or... you're the best.
You're the coolest, crazy person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, I'm like, welcome.
Yeah.
This is what jumped out to me, was the first thing that jumped out to me.
Sure.
It's like, there's certain things that, like, when I've read the Book of Mormon before that we did, like, the church, like, kind of, like, through seminary and on your mission, like, you get these things that are kind of fed to you, like, these are the important things.
Right.
Jacob and Joseph. That's what jumps out at me.
I love that. That okay. Also jumped out to me.
So, this is why it jumps out to me, is because, one, his mom and dad be still getting it.
I know. And they're, like, young enough to, like, need a lot of nourishment. That, like, could be, like, a baby.
Yeah, like, so, like, but I like in the Al Freeberg paintings, they're like
buff 14-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, barely looking over, like, the stern of the boat.
But, like, so ripped.
But it's so ripped.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, it sounds like they would be, like, 5 or 6, where, like, it wasn't abnormal in, like, Middle Eastern culture, like, for kids to be breastfeeding until about 5 or 6.
Right.
And if they still need much nourishment from their mother, so, like... and so that means, like, how long have they been by the sea building these boats?
Yeah.
Two, also, did they have daughters? Because the sisters of Laban, Lemuel, Nephi, Sam, Jacob, and Joseph, they say, we have sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, but did they have sisters? Did they have a lot of sisters?
Right.
How many sisters did they have? Was it, you know?
Totally.
So
there's no mention, but that, like, who knows, she could be breastfeeding them too.
Yeah, she could be. I mean, like, but I mean, like, good for her to be still getting it with her husband at, like, in the middle of the desert.
That's fun.
So I mean,
and that, I think the importance of sex too.
Yeah,
like, that's an important thing, that even, like, when you're about to die in the wilderness, like, that's still something that happens in a relationship.
Because it's, like, the most intimate thing when you love, you truly love someone.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most intimate thing you can do.
Right.
Like, having children with someone is deeply personal and deeply emotional.
Absolutely.
And, like, going through that process of having children is so emotional for a couple. Like, even us as gay people, like, it's, having children is wildly emotional.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Difficult. What else jumped out at you?
Let's see. I think... where am I?
Chapter 18.
Yeah. So what I have written here from my mission, I highlighted that one where it was like, Laman and Lemuel began to see the judgments of God come down upon them, and that's when, and they saw that they were going to perish. They saw they were going to die, and that's when they decided to like repent and change. And I have written, we too can see the judgments of God. And I feel like that stands out to me because I feel like a lot of times in the Book of Mormon and a lot of times for myself in the church, it's like we're like kind of waiting for that moment almost, like that moment where we feel like we're about to perish. And that's where we're going to like feel our biggest spiritual change. And I think I've learned for myself along the way that it doesn't always have to be that way. And so that stood out to me just, and that's more for myself. Maybe it's not this section, but it's like seeing my change in perspective of like, am I waiting to be perishing on a boat before I'm going to change? Or am I making decisions to do like what I want to do, and choose what I believe in right now because I believe it, you know what I mean?
What do you think this would look like as a movie? Not the one that...
It would be so beautiful.
I feel like...
It would be so pretty.
I feel like... Did you... What's the movie about the Coast Guard a few years ago that...
With
Chris Pine was in it, yes, I think. Yes,
and that girl from Divergent.
So
I never saw it, but the preview, I would imagine, would be very similar.
I feel like the way they talk about the tempest and the storming and, mm-hmm. like, how they talk about... Like, have you ever heard Moby Dick?
No.
Okay, it's another one of those things where they talk about the lashing and gnashing of the sea or the right. how the waters, and like it's one of those things where it's like it's truly baffling to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't know, like the sea and like the fact that you had to cross the sea with mm-hmm. your wives and your children. Also, I found it very interesting that the first things that they put on the boat were... Where was it? That we did put our seeds in the... No, where is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like... They were doing the laundry.
And meat.
Uh-huh. And then the last thing was like... And our children and our wives.
Yeah.
Like, it was like... The types of seed...
Check the list.
Like, it was like... I was like, really? Like, you're going to put the seeds and the meats and the breads
and the honeycomb. And like, who cares that you freaking brought honey?
Honey. Like, why is honey so important?
I don't know.
I mean, like, I get as Mormons, like, we love Utah.
Utah, we love the honey. We love the symbol.
Because it's a
beehive.
Because it's a common, working for a common good, but sure. Yet we make so much pollution to, like, kill them all off. Yay! Sorry, honeybees.
But this actually, like, this was the next thing I was going to say. This, like, weird consistency of connecting two things that I don't think that I would normally connect in my life if I'm telling a story. And yet also it feels like when I'm just doing, like, a word vomit, that's what comes out. But it's, like, listing so many things that may not connect. Like, he lists all those things in specifics. And then, oh, yeah, and also the children. And then he goes on and he's, like, the Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael, like they were like they started having a good time, and then all of a sudden they like forgot about God. It's like that's like a quick jump. You know,
and like they're also the singing and dancing and then like talking about their iniquity. It's
right.
Like singing and dancing is like a staple of
yeah.
Mormon activity.
I know,
it's like every youth dance, like, so like is there like a stake president like in his office when you're at like a youth dance, like, please don't judge us for
right.
you know, like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
It's just such a weird, like,
it's,
pious type thing to say.
They're just like weird connections that like I never realized were made. And then and even just the whole chapter itself, it's like the majority of the chapter is saying like Laman and Lemuel were bad and not listening to God, and because of that, like, everyone was sad and everyone was about to die. And then like for like a verse at the end, it's like, oh, and then they changed and we're at the Promised Land and we're super blessed. You know
Ugh.
What I mean? It's like,
but I feel like
it's
the,
just
I feel
I just
like
think
the,
it's interesting.
I feel like Laman and Lemuel get. Remember we were talking about this through the scope of Nephi's...
Right.
So this is how Nephi, a pious young man...
Right.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a
no,
good thing,
sure.
but his piety is like writing this account based on what his father, and he's idolizing his father,
right,
and his two brothers who are not following in his father's footsteps.
Major family issues.
So there's like some major family issues, and he's talking about it. And I feel like the way he writes about his brothers is like, I'm venting a little bit about this, but it's like,
it's fine.
It's fine, but do like,
you have to recognize that as you're reading.
Yeah.
You know?
And, but I mean, like, when then you get to the him being bound and like tied to a thing, and then you're like, okay, now this, you have reason to hear.
Right.
But we're going to take a break real quick.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
With 1 Nephi chapter 18. Welcome back. So we are doing 1 Nephi chapter 1, but you clearly already know that. So...
Chapter 18.
Oh, sorry, my bad. 1 Nephi chapter 18.
You clearly already know that.
I clearly knew that. But what we're going to talk about now is like, how does this directly relate to Ty and myself as gay men? So how do you relate to this?
Well, first of all, before I get into like as a gay man, because I honestly haven't really thought about that a lot in my life.
Okay,
like,
that's
how
fine.
How the Book of Mormon relates as a to me as a gay man. But I think I always related to Nephi a little bit because I felt like I was the younger brother who was like good, and like Adam and Nathan are my two older brothers, like eight to 10 years older than me, and they were like, you know, rebellious in their teen years, whatever. So I always felt a little bit like Nephi, but then I always felt a little bit more like Jacob and Joseph because I was so much younger.
Do you have sisters in between?
I do.
Okay.
So there are 7 of us.
Ooh.
So I kind of also...
There's 6 of us.
Okay, yeah. That's crazy. So But in that way, I feel like their families were big. Like, I felt like my family could relate to,
mm-hmm.
like, Lehi's family. You know what I mean? And so I always saw myself as one of the younger kids. And, like, I was Nephi, Hayden was Sam. The one that nobody talks about.
The one nobody talks about.
Because it's my life.
Like, hey, you be the star of your own show.
That's so stupid.
Hey,
but,
you do you.
Yeah.
You do you.
No, that's the major.
I never related to Nephi or any of them. I was just like, they're people like that. I don't see myself in them.
Right.
Like, there are instances where emotionally I could see that, but as an overall arch, like how a lot of people are like, are you the Nephi in
right.
your family?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, I am the Ryan in my family.
That's how it should be.
And I'm like, I'm the me in my family.
Good, yeah.
But there are things in it that, for me,
right.
That I relate to, like the being bound and beaten.
Mm.
I feel like in my family, like him being righteous and being like chastising his siblings is how I feel about like me talking about like, hey, let's talk and treat gay people
yeah.
with equality
yeah.
and equalness. And then it's like me being browbeaten and, you know,
yeah,
verbally and mentally attacked. And then for me, it was like, not my wives and children praying for that, but I feel like I have one particular sister that like prayed for peace, and me and her, like, I've stopped talking to my family almost altogether.
Oh, wow.
And so I have one sister that I do talk to, and I feel like she can see the like clarity in my life since letting that toxicity go.
Good.
And like,
good.
I feel like, so for me as a gay man, I'm like, I can see like being bound and beaten as kind of like, bound equals mental abuse and
right.
beaten is physical, like not physical abuse, but like,
right.
Like emotional abuse.
Totally.
And it's like, and then like, cause my family never like physically abused me,
same, yeah.
but it's, there's a lot of verbal and emotional.
Oh, wow.
So, and now that I've left, and when I talk to my sister, and me and her are like working on our relationship, but every once in a while she'll like throw out something, and I'm like, oh, so it's nice that the abuse is now continuing, but it's just not at me.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And like my husband and like other friends have noticed like the clarity and like the positivity
okay.
in my life, that like I've been able to be more productive
good.
As a human being
right.
without that in my life. And
yeah.
they're like, it's sad that your family's not there, but I'm like, really? You're sad that I'm not being
yeah.
verbally and emotionally abused?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's, and that's an interesting thing. And that's how I relate here. So, like, being, you know, growing up thinking, I was a sword of Nephi, but now in my life as I come out, and as I've come out to my family, and I'm dating someone, and I feel like, for the first time in my life, I like feel so healthy. I feel so good. I feel like so stable.
Ugh, it's such a good feeling, like, isn't it?
It's so crazy because it's like, it for the in the beginning, it feels just like a lack of so many uncomfortable feelings.
Fear. I feel like they all relate to fear. Yeah. And then you have fear-based faith, right, and love-based faith.
Yeah.
And like all of my faith based in the church prior to me like getting married and mm-hmm. coming back to church was fear.
Right.
Everything was fear. My relationship with my family was fear-based. Everything was fear-based.
Yeah. And so, and it's rough. And now it's like, oh, I just like feel, I just feel fine. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
That feels so good. Cause I feel like, again, going back to what I said before in the church, I felt like it was like, if you're not suffering, if you're not struggling, then you're not coming closer to God. Not in those words at all, but that's how I felt. And now I don't feel that. And I feel really good about that. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like what I'm doing right now in my life is looked at, and I don't think this is true, but I could relate to this. And it's not as dramatic as this, but it's like, this is me finally being like merry and happy and like dancing and singing. Like me talking about my life, me like wanting to talk about my boyfriend with my parents or with my siblings, and like they're
I do like how your boyfriend eats chocolate cake for breakfast. I can really relate to that.
There's just like things that he gets, you know?
Ugh, I understand that.
I'm very lucky. We're different in a lot of ways, but Magleby's chocolate cake for breakfast is
oh, that's Magleby's chocolate cake?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I thought it would look, for a second, I thought it was just like Smith's Marketplace.
No,
like,
no. This is the top stuff.
Oh.
It's so good.
I would have asked for some.
Oh, you can have some.
Oh.
We'll get
after this. After this.
Yeah. But I feel like, and then I feel like, I also, what's unique, or not unique, but something interesting about my story is Hayden, my brother, he came out first. And before I had ever come out, before I had ever done anything, whatever, and he had come out to my family, and I was kind of this in between, like, middleman. He would talk to me about everything that he couldn't talk to the family about. The family would talk to me about everything that
they
couldn't talk
about. That's my sister, the one that I'm.
So,
been,
yeah.
I'm like, so she would play both sides of the fence,
mm-hmm.
and
it's hard.
And oh, it's so hard.
It's just
it's
like
so
tiring.
Hard, and it's so hard on her.
Right.
And like, I see that it's hard on her,
right.
And I wonder, and like, do the other people on the other side of the fence see how hard that is on her?
Right.
How emotionally draining that is for
yeah.
her? How emotionally taxing, physically taxing?
It's just like, yeah.
It's like, it's so hard. And I was like, for me, I don't need to know what's on that side of the fence.
Right.
You don't need to take anything from this side of the
right.
fence over there.
Yeah.
And my relationship with you is not tangent on anything that happens over there.
Right, right,
so
right.
if you're over there super positive with them, that my relationship with you on this side has nothing to do with that.
Right.
And it's not going to change because our relationship is ours. And I feel like boundaries are so healthy.
They're really healthy. And I guess for me, it was a little bit different because my family, like, they weren't.
The boundaries in his family are
crazy. And mine were not that bad. Like, Hayden always had a good relationship with the family. He always had a good relationship with my parents through the process. But there were certain things that they didn't feel comfortable talking about with each other. And so I got to see, like, and they
I want to ask what, but you can tell me more.
Well, I mean, just like, is he still going to church? Like, is he keeping the commandments? Like, what does he like drink now? You know, just like basic things. They're like, oh, so he's gay and he's dating someone. Like, that opens a whole door. So I got to experience.
Just wait till you get married, and then that opens a whole new
and
door.
And I mean, that's still a door that they won't touch, and it's like a little bit scary because I've heard, you know, my parents or some of my siblings say, like, I won't go to Hayden's wedding.
Oh, that's why. So when my husband and I got married,
yeah,
My husband and I got married. We were engaged for seemed like forever, 6 days.
Six days.
Crazy. And like I was like, I don't want to invite my family because I don't want to be hurt by who does come
right.
and who does not come.
Right.
So
but it's like, how do you get around?
And
it's like not inviting your family. Like that's not what you want to do.
And like there's also like the piety of like. So Nephi writes here in how about his family and how he visualizes his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, like, how does my family write about me? If they were the Nephi, if they relate to being the Nephi, right. Where am I? Am I so far gone that, like, even though I'm actively going to church, I'm married, I'm in a great relationship, we're talking about having a family, right. Like, all of these things, and, like, where am I in their viewpoint? Because
right.
Am I, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's actually most important, and what's been most important to me, too, is, like, what you see with Nephi and his family is, like, they all, especially Nephi, he draws lines. And it's like, he never meets Laman and Lemuel halfway. Do you know what I mean? They're always the ones to change. Which, I mean, like, based on this, is the right thing to do, because they're the ones who are doing, you know, what's wrong occasionally. But it's like, they always have to come to him. And they feel like that is what is so hard with family members who are still in the church. They feel like you have to come back completely to them. They can't go to you.
There's no compromise.
There's no compromise. And that's what's most important. It's like, I'm trying to be patient with my family, and it's working. And, like, the more patient we are with each other, the more we try to understand both ways. Like, I need them to understand me. I need them to realize that, like, this is good in my life. This is what's making me happy. This is important. That's what I want to share with them.
And it's like, I can't share this with you because you're going to turn it into you're going to turn it into a toxic event, right. Like the ship being tasked to and fro. It's
or
like,
it's like going to be uncomfortable. And then,
yes.
But at the same time, I need to remember, it's like, I have to be patient. I've been working on myself for, 27 years? It's like, I need to be patient.
You look
with
so
that.
Much older.
Thank you. Most people say I look very young.
I know, but I thought it would be funnier to say you look
Okay. I'm going to take it, because I never get that. I appreciate that. But it's like, okay, now I see the joke. That's fair. Post a picture of me on the cover of the podcast so people can get it.
Oh, okay. Because podcasting is such a visual medium.
You know, yeah. But I feel like that's been the most important thing. It's like, my parent, like, I can't draw lines. And my family can't draw lines. And the more that we just are patient...
But you can!
I know,
but you can!
But the more that we wait, the more that our lines can line up. It's like, I would rather have our lines closer in the sand than, like, on opposite sides of the beach.
Mm-hmm.
After, like, several years, because of this is for me.
This, you're right. This is for you.
Because of my personal relationship with my family.
And I feel like the Liahona in this example is what's directing the ship.
Right.
And I feel like we are all given in the light of Christ or the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. to direct us. And I feel like you have that directing your relationship, and your relationship is different with your family than it is with mine.
Right.
But, I mean, there's two gays in your family. There's two gays in my family.
Right. There are a lot of similarities.
There's a lot of similarities. But,
But I think what's different is that, like... Or one thing that may be different is that with your family, the differences can come out as aggressions or microaggressions. And with my family, it's just not addressed. And that's something that, like... And I that could be wrong for you.
No, you're right on. I don't. You've never met my family, but clearly you have already. You're like, I've heard this story maybe from another gay or two.
Yeah. But with my family, it's like difficult things are often not addressed, and that silence is like really hard. I know it's really hard for Hayden. I know it's becoming harder for me. The deeper I get, the more open I get, the more out I get, and I think that. The only thing that has helped with my family relationships is patience and time. That's literally the only thing. And it's like, at this point, I don't have another choice. I want a relationship with my family that is different than Nephi's relationship with his brothers. I don't want that. You know, I don't want that dysfunctionality or, like, for me to be the one that's like, look, either you meet my bottom line or I can't talk to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not ready to, like, cut out my family yet. And so if that means that I'm patient with them, or I, like, don't bring up certain things until I feel like we're at that point yet, then that's what it's going to take, and that's fine. If that means that maybe, like, I don't... And this sounds bad, but it's like, if I don't tell them that I'm not going to church because, like, I don't think we're there yet, then I'm not, you know, I'm not going to tell them that. I just want to be careful. But the thing
is,
you don't have to.
So this is my opinion. Is like my opinion. Sure. Remember, my opinion. Yeah. Mine.
Good.
My journey.
Good.
My journey is different than yours.
Absolutely.
But I'm like, I feel like there are certain things you don't need to tell your family about.
Yeah.
It's not their business. It's not their place. Like, your parents have stewardship over you. Got it. Check.
Right.
But you're at a point now where you're like, you're kind of have steward. You've been baptized,
totally.
And they're. Their teachings basically have no effect on your eternal salvation.
Right.
So, according to what we believe as Mormons, so you don't need to tell them everything.
That's
you don't
true.
Need to, like, your relationship does not need to be based on, are you active? Do you have a temple recommend? Or are you presenting as having a temple recommend?
Yeah.
Like, Nephi seems to idolize his father here.
I know.
Like, his dad can do no wrong.
Right.
So he has that relationship. Laman and Lemuel, they don't have that relationship.
No.
And it's like they I feel like have fear-based faith.
Yeah.
And so they are floundering here. And
yeah.
Nephi and what's Nephi's dad's name? I should know.
Lehi.
Ugh. Good old Lehi, Utah.
Honestly.
But it's like they I don't see that they can recognize that that faith is, you know, I think that faith is more than fear and love based, but to make a binary aspect, like, and he can't see that, like, this fear based faith that they have has just been shook and they are not handling it well.
Right.
So, like, and I feel like a lot of gays and LGBTQAI people
mm-hmm.
were right there, like, with
yeah,
that.
Totally. And that's what I think is so interesting with the Book of Mormon, but also with the church. It's like, the church is centered on families.
Oh, yeah.
And this family relationship is not a good example.
No.
Laman, like the development of the Nephites and the Lamanites is the result of a family being torn, literally torn apart.
Well, that's what's happening in my ward right now.
Yeah.
Because of a bishop.
And, yeah. And so when you say, like, there are certain things that you don't have to tell your family, you're totally right. And I agree with that. And there are certain things that I don't have to tell anyone.
True.
But there are things that I want to. Do you know what I mean?
But there's also things that, like, when you have a relationship, like a boyfriend, or
yeah.
in my case, a husband.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like there's anything I can't tell him.
Right.
There's nothing.
Right.
Like, if I want to tell somebody something that I can't tell, like, maybe there's, like, I want to tell you about, you know, this, but, like, it's not my place. So I can talk to Tal about it.
Yeah.
About, like... And he can be like, yeah, you're right. It's not your place to say something about this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm glad you got to at least say it
right.
to me.
Sure.
So that you could, like...
And that's good. That openness is good.
Oh, it's very...
It's like, it's essential.
Oh, sometimes Tal just sits there and, like, looks at me like, uh-huh. And he's just like, uh-huh. And it's great. It's like, I can go on about rattling on about certain things. And he's like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he'll
mm-hmm.
just looks it.
And then he'll be like, are you done? I'd be like, yes. And he goes, can I watch TV now? Like, no comments. No, it's lovely.
Right.
He's the best.
Good.
Because, like, there are certain times where I'm like, I want you to comment and I don't want you to comment because we have a good relationship. And, like, when he's like, can I watch TV? And I'm like, no, I didn't want you to comment on that. And then he's like, oh, okay. So you want me to participate in this conversation.
Right.
And there's other times where I'm just like, I just need to talk at someone.
Right. Yeah, totally. And that, I think, is, yeah, really important.
That non-judgmental zone.
Yeah. And that communication, I guess, I mean, that communication is important that you have with someone, but is it essential for everyone? And I think to relate to, like, me as a gay man, when I came out to myself, or, like, felt like I finally had entered the gay community, in a sense, it was, like, the whole chosen family idea gets thrown around a lot, and it's like,
yeah,
you choose, wait. My point is, you choose your family, and it's like, well, I still want to choose the family that I was given, and that's not for everyone, but that really is for me, and I feel like,
I mean, like, I would like that as well,
right.
it's not working out,
and it doesn't always work out, but I feel like I might be lucky enough to have it work out with me. I mean, it is working out for me, and I don't want to let go of that. Because
what's
of,
wrong,
like,
with that?
Nothing. But I don't think that that's what Nephi was ready to do.
Like what?
Like, I don't... Like, he didn't keep his brothers.
Oh, yeah. He was ready to let them go, like,
absolutely.
Back on the beach.
And,
like,
before
they would set sail. Like, he was ready to let go.
Right.
And I think you and I both... Like, I can honestly feel as, like... I've talked to my... what I hate about my siblings the most is, oh, this sibling said this about you, and then I go talk to that sibling, not saying like, oh, this person said this about you, and then they say, oh, this other sibling said this about you, and then like you talk to all these people on an individual basis, they all have a different story of what everyone else has said about you, but then it's like all negative and it's all mildly different similar stories, right, sure. So it's like, but then they're like, we support you, right. And it's like, really, do you?
Yeah,
because everybody says you don't, and everybody has a story about everybody, how they don't support you.
Yeah.
And none of, and they all, so they all have to come from a place of truth, because you're not saying things just to say things. And either they're all the best liars, just mildly off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or just like Nephi here, it's either you're super good at, or you're taking something that's true and right. like, And it's hurtful when you realize that, like, okay, so these people who say they support me to my face behind my back are talking just mad crap.
Mm.
So,
I think that's something that's interesting. And like, and looking back at this entire chapter, it's like, in the beginning, they actually were working together, and there are times with my family. There are a lot of times with my family that we're working together, and they love that, and I appreciate that. And there are times when one of us, some of us, whatever, either side is being merry and forgetting. Like here it says they forget by what power they've been brought thither. And I think that's something that's like really important. Sometimes when we're caught up in what we feel is right or what we feel is important and like our beliefs and what we have to stand up for and how that intermingles with our family relationships, we forget by what power we were brought into a family in the first place. It's like, I believe in God and I believe I was brought into this family for a reason. And they also believe that. And it's like, anytime we lose ourselves based on the things that, anything that could get in the way of our family relationship, I feel like that's when we forget by what power we were brought into a family. And that's like the most important thing to me. It's like, no matter what, I don't ever want to forget that, because I love my family and I know that they love me, and I can't afford that would be
devastating.
It would be just like so selfish to throw that away.
I don't think that it's selfish as much as like self-preservation.
Like, no, for my case.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I am lucky enough to have a good relationship with my family, and that would be so like ungrateful for me to just let that go, because I feel like they're not supporting me the way that I feel like they should be supporting me. Hey, don't disagree.
No, with I'm just
me.
Thinking. I'm like, your family's your family, but I'm just thinking about my own, and
okay,
I'm like,
that's
cool. Why I'm making that grimacing sound.
Okay,
but we're gonna take a break here, and then we're gonna come back and talk about the community.
Woo!
All right, people, we're back for part 3. You ready to talk about this community? Because yes. I'm ready to talk about this community.
Yes.
So, how do you have anything that you want to start with, or do you want me to start with?
If you have something, go for it.
For me, the big thing is, like, the community is, like, how a lot of us have the experience, which you started to talk about at the beginning, at the end of the last segment,
mm-hmm.
was about how many of us come from areas where we work together, like yeah. Nephi and Laman and Lemuel and Sam and the sons of Ishmael are all working together, and it's very harmonious, and there's, like, a purpose together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get so comfortable with each other, and like then what happens in the Book of Mormon, right here in this chapter, is that they start singing and dancing, and then there's a division. And so because we get comfortable with each other and the division, and then that's what starts this animosity and this thing, these things, I think to me, and I feel like a lot of the times the gay community is the Nephi in that situation, mm-hmm. that they're the ones being attacked.
Right.
Like, we trusted you. Mm-hmm. We trusted you to work with us and be with us. And I feel like the gay community here is a lot like Nephi in that we worked together. We helped build something. We were positive. We were, you know, and then all of a sudden, flip side.
Yeah, seriously.
So
yeah, no, that's so true. That's what I was thinking of. Like, I love that this story, like, we've been talking about all the emotional relationships and like the spiritual things that are happening. But at the end of the day, like, this is also just like a story with plot points and things that happen, and like they are building a ship, they are working together, they are bringing like seeds and plants and whatever that they're gonna end up like
they're
gonna build this civilization where they have to live together,
but they're also going on a trip.
Yeah.
And like, you can see the organizational planning.
Yeah.
I want to say you have to have a lesbian if you're going to do this much organizational planning. There had to be a lesbian helping them. But, like, you had all this organizational planning and all of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, as soon as everything was, like, done and there was, like, okay, now...
Like, now we're just waiting to get to where we're going.
And then all of a sudden, the community as a whole was, like... Now we need a common enemy, and now that we've relaxed and we've struggled as a group together, now we need a common enemy. I keep wanting to say anemone, but I'm like, it's enemy, not anemone.
Common enemy.
And I feel like for the long time, like, the gay community has been that common enemy for a lot of people, and not just Mormon people, but everyone.
Right.
And we were like part of the communist scare of the 50s, and we were part of the you know, the Anita Baker don't let them be teachers of the 70s, and like
so many different things.
We are the scapegoat
history, you know, forever. And that's totally fair, and that's actually something interesting. Not to go back to me personally, but to go back to me personally, like, working at BYU, and so in my professional life being closeted, and in my personal life being out, I just felt like it was so interesting. Like, I didn't worry about my colleagues seeing me as gay or straight. I wasn't trying to like prove that I was straight, but I didn't have to come out to them. It's like, that part of my sexuality, or that my sexuality isn't like a huge issue in the workplace. And that was so interesting, because I felt like my colleagues could get to know me, and then that we had built our relationship on so much other than our sexuality. Just having to like get our jobs done, you know what I mean? And
timeline together.
Yeah, timeline, deadlines, like all these different projects.
So it's kind of like you're building a boat with your community of people at BYU.
And it was like, I don't care who's gay or straight. They didn't care if I was gay or straight, because it was just, I mean, it wasn't healthy, because it was just assumed everyone was straight. But at the same time, it wasn't ever addressed. And like, because of that, I felt like we were able to get to know each other really well in that context. And now, like, I've had no issue coming out to, like, past employees. Like, I have no issue coming
Do all of your past coworkers, they all know?
Actually, I think at this point, most people who used to work for me know. Not everyone. I think there's one student who doesn't. But like, most people. And not any that I work with.
Do you know of other LGBTQAI people work at BYU? I know of one other.
Yeah.
And then I know, what's his name? The guy, I think he's in the religion department, who is in a mixed orientation marriage.
Mm.
Tyron told me about him.
Okay.
But I've also known about him.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't. And no, it's like a real don't ask, don't tell, which, like, again, it's not healthy.
I joined the army when the don't ask, don't tell was a thing.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I love the army, though. Yeah. I'm still in it.
Good. And it's just like, in this sense, I feel like it was really good, because I don't know that they would have gotten to know me my office is great. I mean, we're in the liberal arts. It's like, whatever. We're in the visual arts, you know, performing arts. But
there's historically, there have been no gays in that.
Right.
And absolutely no gays in the arts at all.
And it's at BYU, so it's like, I'm already surrounded by a lot of conservative people, but like, I don't feel like some of them might not have wanted to get to know me, or might have come with these weird, you know, preconceived notions about me that they now have been able to get to know me without experiencing, and then also directly me the same way, like, towards them. There are people who I'm like, oh, she's crazy, she's a psycho conservative, like, if she knew anything about me personally, she would hate me, think I was evil, whatever, I don't feel safe around
but
her.
Like,
and then I get to know her, and we've got a great relationship, and I feel like that's been so amazing, and I feel like if people could just see each other, and this is obvious, but I feel like if people could just see each other as other people, then we could start doing a lot of cool things in this world.
I don't disagree with that. Like, one thing I like, the more I do this podcast, the more I realize, then, like, Ty's path and Ryan's path, there are similar parallels.
Sure.
But it's completely different.
It's, like, so different.
And also, your path is in Utah and Oregon, and my path has been in, like, all over the crazy places. And, like, also, like, you're... How many people have you dated in your life versus how many people I've dated in my life? And, like, when did your family start dealing with your sexuality versus when did my family start dealing with my sexuality? And, like, there's so many, like, there's parallels.
Right.
But it's, like...
But it's... We're not the same person.
No, we're
and
not.
No one is the same person. I feel like we need to stop seeing each other as, like... Or even groups. It's, like, when I get together with Hayden, like, it's so funny to just say, oh, like, he is so straight. Or, like, oh, my gosh... These straight people, I can't believe them. Whatever, just, like, blame it on, as completely as a joke, but to blame anything that's, like, funny or ridiculous on a sexuality. And it's like, we need to stop doing that.
Can I tell you what one of my favorite things is? So there is a wonderful woman in my ward who is, who had a problem with our bishop. She went to her husband and talked to him about it. And I've talked to her and him about it. And I've talked to... So he kind of, like, brushed her off, like, yeah, like, don't do it. And she felt so impassioned that she went to someone else who me and her are really good friends with and talked to him about it. And he was like, I stand behind you and I support you. So they worked on this letter, wrote it to our stake president. And then in the hall in passing, you know, it came out that, you know, that she had done this. And he was like, oh, I didn't really... understand that was something that was important to you. And, like, he kind of missed that. And so she kind of started to explain to him, like, what it's like as a woman at church.
Yeah.
And so now, every once in a while when he says certain things in elders quorum, I'll be like, well, at least I will talk to him how men at church talk to women and how kind of misogynist it is.
Sure.
And I've seen him, like, grimace twice, like, why would you say that to me?
Right,
I don't know if he understands that that's why I'm talking to him like that, is that I'm making a conscious effort to treat him like a woman so that he can understand, like, this is what your wife went through.
Right.
Like, you dismissed her, and there's other people in our ward, like, who support. Like, I live in New York City, so my experience with church is very different. And I just had dinner not too long ago with two Oath of Gay couple who, they're both inactive. Mm. But they were like, you do understand that you come from a place of privilege. And this podcast is I understand, like, I'm coming from a place of privilege.
Right.
Like, to the community who are, like, inactive and hurt and damaged. And I'm like,
sure.
Who are the people that, like, were beaten? Like, I've gotten out of that situation. Like, if the community is Nephi, I am, like, you know, the hair on his head, like, where it's, like, I'm not getting punched. Because there are currently people who are physically, like, his arms and his legs that are bound and swollen.
Absolutely.
And I'm, like, that place of privilege on the hair on his head where it's, like, well, you could hurt me, but I'm part of Nephi. But I'm, like, I'm in the place of privilege where, like, I don't have feeling with this. But I also acknowledge that. So I'm, like, trying to, like... You know, I can't rescue everyone,
No, and that's the thing, and I think that adds a lot of clarity to, I think, what I'm trying to say, where it's like, we need to stop looking at each other as, I guess, just like parts of different communities. We just need to stop assuming things about people. And I think that a lot of the times, Laman and Lemuel assumed a lot about Nephi. And Nephi assumed a lot about Laman and Lemuel. And Nephi assumed a lot about Lehi. Like, a lot of, you know?
There's a lot of assumption made. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that, based on the assumptions that people were making about each other, that Nephi ended up in a lot of really crappy situations.
Laman and Lemuel, crappy situations. Like their entire posterity, crappy situation for a long time. And I think that if we can stop assuming things about people, not saying that we shouldn't care about their sexuality or that we shouldn't care about, you know, whatever, it's what we should. It's that we should think that they have a different human experience than me. And because of that, I can't go into any interaction with them assuming anything. And but, I should learn about them. I should find out about them. And together, through that process of learning and finding out, we can become a real community.
And I feel like also, like, by understanding other people's points of view, it gives us more of, like, the sense of understanding that mm-hmm. our Heavenly Father has. Mm-hmm. Because if I only think of the world in a one binary type way, like man, woman, he works, she stays home, this,
or gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or
like, this is how it should be exclusively or whatever, you know?
I think that when we start looking at the world as like grays and we start looking at like, I can't go to like, people ask me why, how I can go to church. Cause I'm like, I think of the church as a very gray, subject matter.
Yeah.
Because of the grayness is how I can attend church.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's really important. I think, you know how the scriptures always talk about like, oh, I don't know how they say it. What, woe unto those who are learned or think they know stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, Oakes' favorite thing to attack.
Yeah.
The intellectuals.
Right. Where it's like, at the same time, it's like, you need to approach everything like that. You know, we can't assume that we know better. Even if it's like, these are the commandments that are written out. It's like, hey.
They were still written down by people.
They were written down by people. And also, I'm a different person.
Also, they were to come out at different times.
You know?
Like, when this was written.
So many different things.
There's so many things. Like the cultural idea of, like, people speculate why pork is not kosher for,
right,
the Jews,
because, like, the pigs
because,
and whatever.
They were speculated the because you could keep other types of meat out longer and it not make you sick. But pigs, if you kept it out a particular amount of time, you couldn't get it to market fast enough that if you cooked it and ate it, it still would be poisonous.
Right.
So that's why there's speculation. So it's like there's a lot of cultural things. Like, and there was the idea of you needed women to produce children. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing that actually inherently says homosexuality is bad and a sin. It's like, no, you just need to make sure that you're producing children because we're in a warring time of the world
posterity,
where you need to have a posterity so that you can have a soldier, so you can have an army, so that you can have these like protective things like and safety in numbers. But now we're like, we're not at that time period. And so it's like, and if you look at how it says like, a man and a woman shouldn't, you know, that's the only way to fall in love. It's, and it doesn't even talk about how to fall in love in the Bible.
Right.
It just talks about marriage and what is marriage. Cause a lot of times,
well, back then it wasn't about love.
It was about arrangements.
Yeah. And I think that's so interesting. I think, you know, this whole thing about this whole church kind of was restored or started again on a question, you know. This kid was like, I don't know what's going on. And I think we should all be asking questions.
And I hate it when people are like, we should just follow leaders blindly. I think
that's
my favorite thing is like, I believe the church is true. I am active. That's why I go to church.
Right.
I think other people should come to church.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
Right.
I always open invitation for any gay people. If you're ever in New York and you want to come to church with me, I go to the Harlem Ward. We now meet
at
12.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
So sorry already, but there's a singles ward. They're very gay if you're Ermine.
They're the best. I go there. When I'm in New York.
When you're in New York.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my journey. And this is the way I feel. Mm-hmm. But I have a bishop that hates me. He's openly trying to figure out some way to excommunicate me. He loves saying that Elder Razban has signed off on all these homophobic, xenophobic, anti-feminist, anti-immigration, anti-black, anti, you know, poor people, anti... Like, he's, if you're not hetero, straight, white, normative, according to him, if you're not straight, white, and male, you don't really matter, according to Elder Buckner and Elder Razban.
Yikes.
So, and I wonder, Do they actually know that that's what you're preaching in their name?
Right.
Like, I just wonder that.
Right, yeah. Like, see, that's the thing, and it's like...
And how many people are going to question you? Because we all do know that he does have personal relationships with both of those people, but how personal is it, and how deep is that relationship?
Well, and I think, too, yeah, along these lines, that's where we have to take it out of the community and get back into ourselves.
And that's what I've started to do, too, is, like, for myself, I have to, like, have my own Liahona, which is the Holy Ghost and the whole... And, like, or the light of Christ, whatever you want
to
call it.
And you need to be asking questions. Say,
I love a good question.
Right. And I'm not saying you're not, but, like, we need to be asking questions and say, like, okay, I believe in this church, but that doesn't mean... But that doesn't mean what maybe the church says it means. That doesn't mean that it, like, that everything is true. That doesn't mean that maybe I believe in Bishop so-and-so. And that's... And that, I think, should be okay. You know? It should be fine.
Yeah.
They don't teach that it's fine, but I think it should be, and I think that's the only way that you can really find a way to become closer to God. I mean, Joseph Smith was like, I don't believe in any of these churches. I don't know what's going on. And we celebrate that. We love that. And we, you know, that's the most amazing thing.
But then we're scared to let people...
We're scared to, like, ask things. We're scared to talk about things. Or it's like, if somebody believives something other than me in the church, if it's...
Heretic!
And if it goes against doctrine, and I think we need to be better at that. Because at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't believe that, like, if somebody believes something different than you, that doesn't change what you believe and whether or not you are living up to what you believe you need to do. And I think that that's what we need to be worried about. It's like ourselves. And that's, I think, for me, that's been the biggest thing. Like, once I just worried about myself, it changed my life. Like, when I came out to myself, it was amazing. Because I was no longer trying to. I didn't worry about what I would wear. I didn't worry if I looked gay, because someone might think I was gay. Or, like, I didn't worry how I acted around girls, because I wasn't trying to impress any of them. I wasn't trying to date girls anymore. It was all these crazy things where I was like, I feel so insanely liberated. And I was so healthy, and I felt so happy. And that was a happiness that I've only felt from that. I've never felt that kind of happiness from anything that has been promised to me to bring happiness.
So we're going to end on that, because that was just... friggin' beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So anything else you want to say?
That's...
Do you want to talk about how you're going to vote for Trump 2020?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, make sure you register so that Trump can lead us into World War III. Because I just like you, I'm all about joining the army. Just kidding. No.
I like the army. No tea, no shade. I've done it for 12 years.
I think that's
so
great.
Like,
I think the army is not for me. And that's me.
But it's been the last 12 years of my life, and it's going to be at least the next 8.
I think that's great. I'm glad somebody's doing it.
I love it.
I think we need an army. I will say that. But I think I'll just reiterate what I was saying and think, like, I mean, I don't care if people know about me, but I think that's something, if anyone's listening to this, that they can take away. It's like, I wish someone would have told me this in high school. But it's just like, do what makes you happy. And be confident about those decisions and ask yourself, is this making me happy? Like, in stepping away from the church, I've had to address, you know, all the commandments that we don't have a problem with when you're in the church. Like beer. Like, I was so scared to drink my first alcohol. That was terrifying because I didn't know what was going to happen. But then I was like, I had to ask myself, does this make me a bad person? Or does this make me a good person? Or what? And I realized it actually didn't matter that much to myself. And once I started making...
I have so many comments.
Once I started making decisions just, like, based on what I wanted to do and what I wanted to experience and what I wanted to try and how I felt.
And how your experience has been, like, dictated to you by, like,
by
how
Sony,
you feel.
Yeah.
And what that conversation you've had.
And, like, my whole life, too, just, like, my whole life was governed by the fact of, or by the chance that people might think that I'm gay. That was like a guiding force in, I would say, 98% of my life, until it came out to myself and I said, you know what, frick that, dude. Like, I don't even care. And it was so exciting. For about a year, I lived exclusively for myself. Like, now I think it's important to have relationships, and I love, you know, my boyfriend, and I think, like, that's great, and I would do things, I consider him too, but, like, for a year, I just, like, lived for myself, and it was, like, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. If I don't want to talk to this person, I'm not going to talk to this person. If I don't wear this thing, I'm going to wear this thing. If I'm going to talk about Drag Race in class, I'm going to talk about Drag Race. And for so many people, I feel like, that's just, like, normal.
I love Drag Race.
I love Drag Race, and I wanted to talk about it.
So my husband, when I first introduced him to Drag Race, he was like, this show is dumb. I never want to watch the show.
Sure.
Ever. By the end of the season, he was watching.
Yeah.
And he had like, I like this person, I like this person. And then he'd be like, I hate this queen.
My first season, I was like, this is crazy.
Oh,
this feels so weird.
I love when Mormon moms, like in New York City, are like, can I come to Drag Night?
Right.
And I'm like, yes, you can.
Like, my sister just got into it, which is huge. And, like, that's a huge thing. It's, like, in being myself, I can express what is interesting to me. People can now learn who I am. People can relate to me. I can now relate to other people.
It's like you've met halfway.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to address before we end here?
No, just, like, guys, just, like, try to be happy.
Is there any art shows or anything that you're going to, upcoming art shows?
Let's see, we're in September right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know, but if you check my Instagram...
What's your Instagram?
So I have... My Instagram is davis.ts. I gotta check that.
We'll put it in the cool. show notes.
You never know. I think it's davis_ts. And then my Finstagram is eatandbefilled. So if you want to learn a little bit more about me, look up that one. If you want to see my art, go to davis.ts. And... that's where you'll be able to find out what's coming up, what I'm working on. I like to work on a lot of video projects, photo projects, collage art. It's just like
a
spattering of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you what I'll be working on because I don't think I even know.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to close up the show. And thanks. If you feel like you want to be a part of the show, feel free to contact us at pioneerprojects82@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you if you'd like to come on and speak with us. Also, if you are in need of suicide prevention information, we are trying to get information out there to people. So feel free to reach out to a friend or loved one if you are feeling suicidal, because you don't deserve to have those feelings.
Been there. We don't need those feelings.
Oh, no. But you can make it through it. Mm-hmm. There is information and resources out there, and there will be a few resources in the show comments. Thanks again for joining us with Book of Mormon with Ryan.